I want to read to you something from the Srimad Bhagavatam tonight. That speech alone is worth the name through which one sings God's praises. Those hands alone which do service to Him deserve to be called hands. That mind alone is rightly so called, which constantly remembers the Lord dwelling in all mobile and immobile creatures. And those ears alone deserve the title which hears the sacred stories of His force. That head alone deserves to be styled as such, which bows to all mobile and immobile creatures, regarding them as the very images of God. That eye alone is the real eye, which sees God in everything. And those limbs alone are properly so called, that are daily sprinkled with the water that has washed the feet of the Lord and of His devotees. This is another one on self-purification by Swami Ramana. Self-purification can come only by constant thought of God. When we remember God, the Almighty Power, we feel how insignificant we are. Now our ego sense disappears and our minds become pure. Let us know that God's power alone is working in the world. What can we do? We are absolutely nothing. Have you seen a glowworm which shines in darkness and thinks it is a great thing? When the sun shines, you cannot find where the glowworm is. So in the presence of God, the Son of Suns, we are like glowworms. We will become humble and meek and feel we are the servants of God, and God is our all-powerful master. Otherwise, we forget Him. The ego sense comes up, and we think of evil and resort to bad actions for which we will reap bitter fruits later. When we remember God, we will walk always on the right path. Therefore, let us not forget Him. Continuous consciousness of God is the same as living in His presence. Such a life is perfectly holy and blessed. As it is, we are too much engrossed in worldly life. We think we are only the physical body. We do not know that we are the immortal soul. We have forgotten what we really are. It is not by externalizing our mind that we can achieve anything real, but we must turn towards by constant prayer to God. Or we must turn inwards by constant prayer to God and remembrance of the divine within. We must surrender to Him so as to dispel the darkness of Nisias and awaken the light and peace eternal. We will then be able to do all our actions in a spirit of love. This harmony can go only by the power of love. Love is a great solace. Suppose there is an object that does not dissolve in water or in any other liquid. We put in a solvent which enables the object to dissolve. So love is a solvent that causes the individual soul to dissolve in God. Why is it that we do not love our neighbor? It is because our narrow love has not changed into universal love. We can make our little self expand into the universal self. God is not in the heaven above, but He is in our hearts. We may call Him God, truth, or reality. To find Him, we must dive deep within ourselves. He is there, ready to receive us. We have lost touch with Him. Truly, if all of us discover Him within us, what a happy world can we create. Let us think and talk of God, and awaken God awareness in all people we meet, and may they become lamps lit with light divine. Let us not waste our lives for the fading enjoyments of low desires. Let us not fall an easy prey to temptation and forget God. We sit ostensibly for prayer, but our mind wanders in ever so many directions. Let us fix our thought on God and pray for strength, purity, love, and peace. Does anyone have anything in particular that they want to talk about this evening? Is there any questions? As I mentioned Sunday, this is Passion Week. It is a week of the Passion of our Lord. It is a week where the human ego has so far forgotten itself that now it wants to give itself in its entirety to God. This involves three things. It involves, first, purification. Now let us consider what that purification means. It means purification of the body, of the mind, of the emotions, and of the soul. Now, when we come to purification of the body, we think purely, as a rule, in terms of what we put into it, how we keep it cleansed inwardly, and by bathing, how we clean it outwardly. But there is more than that, because the cleansing of the body, the purification of the body, comes through the purification of the consciousness and of the heart. There must truly be a divine romance with God to have this take place. When you think of being in love with that one which you hope to call your own, or which you do call your own, you think of someone perfect for you that fulfills everything which your heart desires, which your mind can conceive of, down to the tiniest detail. But you will never find that in the human sense, never. But the very opposition, the very things which you do not find, that you hope to find in your human being, are those things which will help you to reach out for the true beloved, that infinite spiritual presence which is within you. And gradually, as this purification takes place in the heart, in the mind, in the body, and in the soul, there comes a longing so great to be one with the infinite beloved that it transcends, it supersedes, it replaces all other forms of love. This is impossible, as a rule, for the young to conceive of, because they want a life of laughter, of gaiety. They want to go out and enjoy themselves and to indulge in some of the things of the senses. They want to dance and play and have a good time. This is natural for you. But it is much greater if, in the youth of your life, in the springtime of your life, you can find this other great romance with God and have that as the main goal, the pole star of your life. This inner cleansing takes place gradually. It takes place as you start to cleanse the mind, because everything that is built outwardly and inwardly is a product of your mental concepts, of your thoughts. There is a chapter in 2 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 7, and it says, beginning with verse 3, "And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle." Now, herein, the Lord is telling his servant David, which means love, to build him a house in which he may dwell. And he says that he hasn't had any house to dwell in since he brought his children up out of Egypt, even to this day. But they have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Now the land of Egypt is a land of darkness. It is filled with those thoughts of darkness and ignorance which fight everything in the light. In fact, You could scarcely say that it fights everything in the light, because it does not, in any sense of the word, know what the light is. Now, this is the animal nature of man. It is that part of man which exists without even realizing or knowing that there is one supreme intelligence, one God, one Father, one Creator. But gradually, as the soul takes on more substance and form, the children of darkness are brought out of the land of Egypt. And then they come into a new state of consciousness. They become, in effect, the Israelites. These people, in the beginning, are nomads. And that has the spiritual significance of the soul and the human consciousness wandering all over the earthly field, indulging in the things of the senses. They think of God, they acknowledge a God, but they are engrossed with the things of the world. They are not willing to go within the house of the Lord, which is the human body, the temple not made with hands, and sit there and worship Him, and serve Him, and love Him, and adore Him. So He wants, the Lord, to have David, which is love, build him a house in which he may finally dwell. And this is what we undertake to do in this Passion Week, this week which is the passion of the soul for God. Christ's passion was a tremendous example of what this means. He walked the way with the Lord, every inch of it. And even though this ego sense in him still hesitated to die, "Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from my lips. But it was for but this hour that I came," he said. Still, though he didn't want to do this, his love for God was so great that he was willing to sacrifice himself, this human ego, this idea of separation from God, in order that he might find his oneness with his infinite beloved, until he might become one with the bridegroom, the Lord of all creation. You see, he was still Jesus, the Son of Man, the Savior, that spiritual consciousness in the Son of Man and every human being, which leads and guides him spasmodically in the beginning. But gradually, as he comes to depend on that guidance which comes and goes, he finds a faith, because it happens in a certain way. He has a certain feeling when these directions, these feelings of intuition come to him. And he realizes that they were truly from God when they become prophecy fulfilled. When something that you felt was going to happen, something that you saw was going to happen, has actually happened, then you remember just exactly how it was that you felt, the thoughts that came to you, the inner sureness of being that came with this information. And so you begin to have faith in it. So each time you get that, your faith increases and increases and increases until whenever this comes, it is a specific and definite knowledge that this voice of intuition, John the Baptist, is coming to guide you, to direct you to that time when you, a devotee of the Lord, are willing to sacrifice yourself on the altar of your love for Him. You're willing to do anything, go through anything, even death itself. There are so many people who become engrossed with the gifts of God. And by the gifts, I do not mean the gifts in the material sense, although many people become engrossed in that. They think if they receive a great many gifts in the outer, that this is a sign of their spirituality, that God is heaping this abundance on you. Certainly when you put your feet on the path, when you follow the laws and the rules and the regulations of God, He will reward you in many, many ways. But the greatest rewards are the rewards of the Spirit. Now, these come in many ways. There is this gift of tongues, that is said, which is one of the very first rungs on the ladder. It is the lower psychic force, and many are caught up in this, and many have become mentally unbalanced as a result of becoming too involved in this particular type of thing. They say that the power of the Holy Ghost comes on, but it is rather a hypnotic thing. that can lift them up and change them so they are never the same again. They are like they are under a spell. They are not consciously in control of their minds, their bodies. They cannot consciously go to God because they feel that they're under this spell. This is to be gone through if it happens, and you go to the next higher stage. Then there's the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of laying on hands. And there is gift after gift after gift. And people become caught up in these gifts. Many people have come to me through the years and they say, I come to you because I have a desire to be a healer. And I would say to them, first, physician, heal thyself. Because not one single individual among us is a healer. It is God, the eternal spirit, dwelling in each temple which he has made, who reaches out and heals his children if it is his will, as he is directed to do so, for their highest good. And as I have told you before, it is not always his will that this healing takes place, because the suffering which comes from pain, from disease, from illness sometimes, which suffering we have brought upon ourselves through our own misuse of our will, is necessary in order again that this purification which I spoke of takes place. It is a purging of all of that which is not good in the body, all of that which is in a state of dis-ease. And even if that pain and that suffering persists until the physical death of the body, still, the purification has gone on. That soul has been lifted up as a result of accepting whatever is the will of the Lord for him, has accepted in full measure and counted their blessings that this purification has taken place. In all of the things that have happened to this body of mine, every single thing and many, many things it has gone through, as I told you before, operation after operation after operation. There has been tuberculosis, there has been heart trouble, there has been this, there has been that, there has been the other thing. Paralysis twice, totally. It has been through the crucifixion. But every single thing which has ever caused me pain and suffering has been the means for opening up a new plane of consciousness, of giving me new courage, new will to carry on and reach my goal. And it has caused me to go within myself and offer up a prayer of thanks to the Lord for his gracious kindness in giving me whatever I have gone through in order that I may come that much nearer to the realization of the truth of God within myself. Every single bit of pain, every single bit of suffering, every disappointment that comes to us is a blessing in disguise if we will only look at it that way. It is all in accordance with what our attitude is as to the good we will derive from it. We can become miserable, sniveling, complaining creatures, feeling sorry for ourselves in every sense of the word, because this one hasn't treated us the way we thought they ought to, because somebody said something that hurt our feelings, because our life isn't working out, we aren't having the fun, the attention that we think we should have. But do you not realize in every single thing, in every act of God that happens in our lives, he is blessing us, he is tempering our soul so that he may give us the greater joy, the greater richness, the greater blessings of the bliss and the love of his eternal being. Now, nothing in the human sense can compare with it. There are no words to describe this union with the beloved. None at all. But gradually, as the purification takes place, you feel an inner lightness. Light comes inside of you. And that light extends out because there has been a burning up of the brass within yourself, a burning up of all that is impure. And your whole world changes. Where before you saw only darkness, all the windows and doors were closed, you saw only melancholy things and things which you didn't like. Now, no matter where you look, there is a new awakening. This is why the seasons were made by God, because each season brings with it its own reward. We have this cold winter, which starts in December by actual count. And we go through the snow and the cold and the rain and the sleet. And it is indicative of that which man goes through in his darkened state. But then, even though there has been all of this tremendous darkness, and everything has been covered with a blanket of snow, the leaves have fallen from the trees, everything appears as though it's dead, then comes spring and the new awakening. And all of the tender green shoots start to come up out of the ground and reach for the light. And the trees and the bushes take on new garments of green. And they finally start to bud out. And the flowers open. And the fragrance from those flowers perfume the air. And then comes the summer, which is radiant with the sunshine and the warmth of God's love. And that is when all things keep on growing and growing and growing, until we come to the fall, which is the harvest time. And we can gather that which we are the fruits of that which we have planted. And then again, we go into this fall season as we reach toward Christmas, the birth of the Christ. And so it is, this whole cycle goes on all the time. And we think that there isn't a God when he makes all of these things happen. But these cycles go on within man, too. And you know, if we could only keep this one thing in mind, of seeking God, the infinite beloved first, then all of these other things would be showered upon us in abundance. Every single thing that the heart desires, such love as you never dreamed of. And it comes to you as a result of your union with the one divine beloved. It comes to you from every human sense, every human source. And if you seek him first, your divine mate, then if it is his will, this human mate will also come. People don't realize that they must make the effort first, that this is the law. They must become what they should be in God before they can expect the reward of his infinite blessings. I keep pounding away on this all of the time because it is the truth. And until you take that truth within yourself and go to work on it and realize the truth of that statement, you will never get all of the things that you want in the human sense. You may get some of them, but they may turn to ashes in your mouth. You will get whatever you have earned. But this purification keeps on and on and on until all of the darkness, all of the ignorance is burned out from the consciousness, the mind, the heart, the body, the soul of the individual that is striving for his God realization. Now, when this is accomplished, it is said that the blood drains from the body. And this is, of course, what we were talking about Sunday, where the five-pointed star, which relates to the five senses of the body, drains all of the impurity, the impure blood, from the senses and purifies them all the way through. Then the next step in that, and there are three, comes illumination. Now this path of illumination is where all of a sudden the inner meaning of the scriptures open up to you. Where before you looked at them and believed in them as they were given to you in the orthodox form, you think that they are truly what they are represented to be as history. Now you start to relate them to some of the experiences that you have gone through within yourself. And new doors, new windows are opened up. And there's a total revelation. And the soul sits in awe and wonder and thinks, how in the world they could have been so blind? How in the world could they have accepted what they had been taught as being truth when the inner meaning is finally revealed to them? The illumination comes flooding in, step by step, plane by plane, and it seems as though it never ceases, until finally the aspirant is lifted up and he sees God in all creation. He can look nowhere and see an enemy because he knows that that one who seems to be an enemy is but that which is necessary to take him to even higher planes of consciousness with an impact. It is to pound him to an even finer grain of wheat so that God can make him sacred flour for his sacred feast. This is the truth. And gradually, as this illumination comes, the consciousness spreads. And where you saw resentment, hatred, enmity before, not that you don't see them now, but you realize that it is God's hand in all of these things, that it is His work that must be done, and that you have only the responsibility of keeping your full attention upon Him, of seeing this light which He is revealing to you, of more and more becoming that light, of feeling its radiance fill every part of your consciousness, every part of your being, until you become this great light which radiates toward all mankind. And when finally this final illumination comes, and you are joined to the One Beloved, then you attain the state of mastership, self-mastery. Then you become one of the greats of the earth with dominion over all things in heaven and in earth. Heaven and earth are both within yourself. And this being a master is a tremendous thing. When you attain that state of union with the Divine Beloved, there is a spiritual ambience, a spiritual power and light which spreads to the farthest corners of the earth. And no matter where the devotees of such a one are, no matter how or what they ask of God in that form, that spirit, that power immediately goes to work. And if the faith of the individual is total and complete, then God will grant that desire. It doesn't mean that the master is aware minutely of everything that is going on in the lives of every devotee, because sometimes they are worldwide in their effects upon humanity. But it means that his infinite spirit that was an individual spirit, has become one with the one great spirit of God. And because the devotee's heart is fixed on God in that particular form, that universal spirit reaches out and heals and soothes and comforts and lifts up whoever has faith in it. What is self-mastery? Self-mastery is the ability to control your thoughts, your mind, your speech completely, so that only what you want to live with in the way of conscious thoughts are permitted to enter into your consciousness. That only the acts which you feel directed to do as coming straight from the Lord are those which will come forth from yourself. Only the speech which God provokes you to say, those words which come out of your mouth, are those which He wishes you to say, and for His plan and His purpose, for the edification, the upliftment, sometimes the chastisement of those whom He sends before you. When you come to the point of this total illumination and of self-mastery, you see how tremendous this power works, how tremendous this light is, and that it spreads all over. When you can see God as the absolute beyond all form, when you can feel yourself lifted up into His arms of everlasting bliss, and when you can see yourself as God, as the everythingness of God everywhere, when no matter where you look, in the trees and the flower and the sun, the moon, the stars, every living, creeping, crawling creature, when you can see God expressing Himself through the life in these forms, then you have truly reached a state of real illumination. Then is a time when you have reached this state of illumination, when the powers of clairvoyance come, when the voice of God speaks to you, when the thoughts come to you and you see images before you. Sometimes they come in the spiritual eye, but sometimes there is just a definite and specific knowing, and this definite and specific knowing is greater than anything you could get, because to feel yourself one with God, or to feel these images, these events that are to happen, is to be one with God, and as my master once told me, is therefore the greatest of all. You see, when this happens, you are no longer the Savior. You have indeed become the Christed One. You have become one with the Father God. And all of this power is yours, so that whatever comes through such a one comes directly from that cosmic universal mind, from that cosmic universal power. We are never the healers. God is the healer. He is the supreme physician of the universe. And nobody should take it upon himself to be a healer, to advise another person, unless God himself directs him to do so. And then that one gets himself out of the way totally and completely. He may take that one needing to be healed in his arms. He may just lay his hands upon him. He may just stand in his presence and pray for him. But it is always, Father, if it be thy will, then by the power of God within me, I pronounce thee healed, well, whatever. It's a tremendous experience in humility. There is one great danger when this point of illumination comes. And that is because you do start to get these spiritual truths clairvoyantly or directly from the Spirit. When they start to come, when you are being used to heal people, to perform miracles, the danger is that you will think again in the human ego consciousness and build yourself up and give yourself credit. You will even give yourself credit for all of the experiences that you have been through. Blow yourself up about them. I have been through the crucifixion. I have done this and that. Now you may recount these things, but certainly you were not responsible for putting yourself through them. If you have any intelligence, if you have any knowledge, if you have any special gifts, they are not yours. They stem from the one great mind of God. His compassion, His mercy, His love, which permits the healing, stems from His one great heart. And the devotee on the path must at that time, above all others, cultivate humility. Know that in the human sense, he of himself is nothing. And yet, by the same token, to reach out for the everythingness of God. Do not fall into this trap of concentrating on the fact that you are nothing. Rather, concentrate on God alone and realize your oneness with Him. Because when you can fix your full attention upon the Lord and know that in truth you are His child, a part and parcel, the cell of His one body, of His very self, then indeed this illumination comes, the humility comes, and you know that you are He, but you are God's everythingness. And yet, when you are functioning in a human body, that you of yourself are nothing. It is your Father who doeth the works. This ego is so insidious. It is so proud of every little thing which it thinks it does, its knowledge, its deeds, what it has been through, that this is an extreme danger trap in this very high spiritual state, because this danger doesn't cease until you have gone over the top and you have found yourself in the arms of God, in the total absolute state, where you have actually died on your own cross, which is your body. And He has lifted you up and has absorbed you completely within Himself. Now the return stage is difficult. Because having been in the arms of the Father, the desire is to remain there. Yet through His infinite compassion, He puts into your heart, into your consciousness, the desire to help Himself in all of these other forms, to give them the light, to help them to lift themselves up, and to do away with this life of darkness and the sin of the idea of separation from Him. And so, such a one, if it be God's will, returns to the earth, returns to the state of dual consciousness. It is most difficult to do that. Because don't forget, you have left this world of duality. You have rested in the arms of bliss, in the arms of the Almighty. And certainly, you have no desire, in the real sense of the word, to come back and to change and to get back into this tremendous battle that goes on. Because as long as you are in a human body, as long as you are living in this world of duality, you must meet these dual forces in the people that God sends to you, in the forms that come to you, in the events that happen in their lives. And you become embroiled in them. You become involved in them. And there are times, believe me, when you reach out with everything you have to escape again into the mountain of your own being, to rest again in these arms of bliss. But this is not permitted. You have to fight to keep your conscious mind in the body, to keep yourself living and moving and breathing and having your being in this body, so that you can light the way for others, so that you can reveal the truth to them. It is not easy, I can assure you. And always comes this pull, but gradually, as time goes on, you are able to stabilize yourself, to keep yourself in a state of complete and absolute balance. And when the time comes that you can go from the lowest plane to the highest plane, depending on who sits before you and what their particular need is, when you have access to all the information on all the planes, when the information as to how each one should be handled, what their state of development is, how their ego sense is, and how great is their desire or lack of it for God, you have really attained that state of balance. It is a complete balance of the male and the female, the negative and the positive within yourself. You have gone totally in one direction. The pendulum has swung over there. But now it has swung totally in the opposite direction. And you want it to stay over there. But gradually, God, through His infinite mercy and through the blessings which He pours upon humanity, will bring you back to a state of balance. And it is only when man or woman has both these forces, these female and male qualities, perfectly balanced within themselves so that they can call upon either force in order to serve those who come before them, are they really totally balanced and at standstill within themselves. Then everything that comes forth from them is from God alone. This is an enviable state to attain, believe me. It is filled with joy, with bliss. There is a tremendous satisfaction in emptying out the things that need to be gotten rid of from the hearts and the minds of those who come to you, in order that you may fill that space which you have emptied out with the love and the truth of God, so that you can see their whole beings light up, and you can see them put their feet on the road to happiness, to fulfillment, to a reaching out and expressing the great gifts which each and every one of us have been given. God is life. He is radiant, beautiful, perfect life. And that is what we are offered in place of eternal suffering and sorrow. Is it not worth going through whatever is necessary to go through in order that we may reach that state of attainment, that state of lifting up, of final illumination, when the thousand-petaled lotus of the brain opens wide its petals and the gold of the spirit permeates that whole being? Who would change places with one who is still in his garment of earth, his consciousness of the senses, when you have been lifted up into the arms of the divine? There is no love like it in all the world. There is no blessing like it in all the world. And his bounty, his wealth, in every single field that you can think of, pours upon you abundantly. Sometimes you are lonely, but that is only in the human sense, because your heart is with God, and you want to be drawn up again into His arms. You want to stay there. You want to rest forever with your beloved, but still here you are, and you feel this loneliness in yourself. In the beginning, you think it's a loneliness for people. But you can be surrounded by 1,000 people and still that loneliness persists. And why is it? Because you have taken the journey away from your beloved. He is with you, you are with him, and yet you aren't resting in his arms because you're here doing his work. And yet when you stop to think about it, this is God himself who has made this plain. And so he is the lover, he is the beloved, he is the child, he is the servant, he is the deity. All of this life is God. Every bit of it. And in all of this life, he but sends himself away from himself, and he puts himself through this darkness and ignorance and suffering, only that he might have the joy of bringing himself back to himself. Man creates his own suffering. Man creates his own crucifixion. If man were what he was supposed to be in God, if he forever and eternally obeyed these perfect laws of God, then the suffering, the crucifixion, all of the things that man goes through with, that man looks upon and says, why does God, who is supposed to be infinitely loving and merciful, do this? I don't like such a God. But if man were to do what that good Lord, the Father, has set out for him to do, he would have no reason for complaint whatsoever, because God's love is the greatest thing in the world. And if we put that love first, if we put our desire for him above all other things, then the time will come when we will have the realization of what this is all about. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And we will find that we are one with the Father God, that we are but God living his own life in every way. Bliss, bliss. Eternal love and bliss. That is the reward for going all the way, for attaining your mastership, your oneness with the Father. Now let us really concentrate on the words of this positive prayer. It is a prayer of perfection. As you will concentrate on each word, you will see that it takes care of your body, your mind, and your soul. And it lifts you up into a positive state of consciousness where only the beauty and the joy of God reside. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet. And surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May Thy love shine forever.
May Thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to Thee.
And bring them to Thee.